Well, ladies and gentlemen, that, of course, Let It Be, which is at the Royal Court and doing absolutely phenomenal business. I mean, it's had the biggest advance sales ever that the Royal Court have ever had, which is great. Now, I've got four guys around the table. We're going to go round the table to find out who they are and who they play and talk about the show. I would just like to remind them that I was there when they weren't born, when they were little kids. I was queuing outside the cavern. I was the one that, and whichever one plays Ringo is the one I will hate most. Right. I was the one that was campaigning against Pete Best. I went outside. Yeah, we wanted him to stay. We really rated him.
Pete Best forever, Ringo never.
But it was amazing. Yeah, because we had no say in it. We're kids. You know, we were kids. I was sagging off school to get to see them. And I mean, I paid 1 and 6 in old money, which is about what 1 and 6 be? Shilling, about 20p. Going to see the Beatles.
Mm. At the Cavern?
At the Cavern, yeah. Wow. We used to go every Wednesday afternoon. And what made me laugh about the Cavern was, well, people don't understand this, was that they weren't there. First of all, health and safety would have closed it down in 2 seconds because there was one staircase in and out. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you got a bowl of soup, and you got your bowl of soup before the sweat came off the roof into the soup and before the toilets flooded over. Yeah. But it was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
The greatest place in the world.
Never get that again.
And no, it was just, you know, the greatest place in the world. Right, Ringo, tell us who you are. Tell us all about you.
So my name is Chris McBurney, and I portray Ringo from New York. And I started with Let It Be on Broadway, and then I've done a few different tours with them. Japan, Singapore, and now here in Liverpool.
So I never knew. That's stunning. On the show tonight at 10:19, that Ringo Starr actually came from New York. Such a clever.
You want to hear his voice? He's got the best Ringo voice.
No. So, who's the best one to talk about Let It Be, the actual show?
We'll talk about it.
So, what do you get from Let It Be, you yourself? You've been in it.
It's really, we feed off the audience. So the audience has a great time. It's really for everyone who love the Beatles and people who just sort of casually listen to the Beatles. So once we kind of grab them and grasp a hold of them, we feed off of their energy. So it's really a thrill to see, you know, the audience get up on their feet and dance and sing in the aisles. And it's like you said, it's sort of generational, so we start from 10 years old to 90-year-old. That's a great thing about the Beatles, is they sort of span generations.
It's interesting. I've just done an interview with an author who's just written a fabulous kids' book telling them who Paul McCartney is. So it's a story about telling the children, because all of a sudden children don't know. Yeah. The next generation will come up and we'll find out who they are, because it's been so many different generations. How long have you been with the show?
It's been 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, just under 3 years.
How many times have you played Liverpool?
I've actually been to Liverpool about 10 years ago, but I played with a singer-songwriter from New York, and we did a little tour. But this is my second time in Liverpool. So we've been here for 4 weeks. A little over 4 weeks. We got one more week left, and then we head out to Japan. Yeah.
Is it weird working Liverpool because of the Beatles? I mean, you've been around the world. You work everywhere. And we know how huge the Beatles are in Japan. But is it weird working Liverpool?
It's a bit daunting. I mean, it's where, you know, obviously where they came from. So at first it was a bit intimidating. But really, it's people are just there to have a good time, you know. And it's the music is sort of a testament to how successful the show has been. It's really the Beatles. It's the music of the Beatles, and people love it. So,
now, you look like John Lennon's son. Of course, you play John Lennon, obviously. But you look like his son. You could actually pass as his son. What's your name?
Reuven Gershon.
Reuven?
Yeah.
That's an unusual name. Where's that from?
It's from the Bible. It's a Hebrew name.
Wow.
Like Reuben.
So Reuben, but it's pronounced
Reuven.
Reuven.
Yeah.
Wow.
V and B in Hebrew letters are the interchangeable letters.
Girls, if you're looking for a new baby name, I'm impressed with that.
It rhymes with Grooven, which kind of Grooven. Is what I am, what I do.
You're Grooven. I mean, how long have you played John Lennon?
Professionally, I suppose about 5 or 6 years. But I've been into the Beatles since I was a kid, like 9 or 10 years old. I came to Liverpool when I was about 11 first. went around the Magical Mystery Tour sites and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And I always used to do impressions of John Lennon when I was a kid.
So you've always had that thing about John Lennon?
Yeah, yeah. Just used to do it for a bit of fun.
Have you heard the news today? His guitar's just been sold.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, $2.6 million.
Wow. Really? Which America. Guitar was it, do you know?
The one that was stolen. I'm not very good on guitars, so I don't know.
Gibson J160,
it might be,
perhaps.
But it's got his... It was the one that was stolen, and it's got his the marks of his fingers.
Wow.
And the guy's played over $2 million.
That's amazing, because I bought a guitar today, and I used it in the show for the first time. That was a...
Was that weird?
Guitar. It wasn't the same guitar, though.
Is it weird using a new guitar?
Not
the first
really.
Time.
No, unless it's like an old battered one, and you have to kind of get used to it, but you just kind of play it in first.
Have you had one audience that you'll never forget? You yourself?
God, there's been so many great nights. Last night was amazing. The audience that came last night were fantastic.
Yeah, but Liverpool also.
But they are Liverpool audiences are amazing.
Friday and Saturday in the Royal Court, the singing's amazing.
Yeah, the singing. The first show we did here, actually, that was a great night because we were all on adrenaline and we sort of only just prepared to do the show and we played Imagine. It's the first time I played Imagine in this show, and it was on John Lennon's birthday, and that was a great night, and the people were singing along. It was beautiful, man.
Interesting when you say that, because of where you are, the Royal Court, when John was killed, everybody made for St. George's Plateau across the way, and I always remember that day, and it was the weirdest thing ever, but it was people just congregated, so just across the road. So everything, there's places where you know what's happened with so many. I mean, I'll tell you now, which I've said many times on radio, and you don't know, but I'll tell you. I was the first person to ever commission a Beatles statue, the one that is up on the wall across the road from the new cavern, which is there.
The angel.
Mother with that's mine.
Oh, wow.
I was working abroad. I had the idea, put a letter in the Echo. The Echo, when I got back, had exploded about it, and everyone was going to do this, that, and the other, and I get, oh, forget it, I'll do it. And I did it, and I commissioned Arthur Dooley, got the money, raised the money myself, got the statue, and that was the first ever Beatles statue.
Let me ask you then, what is that woman?
It's the mother of the family. It's the mother holding the family together. It's the mother holding the Beatles together, and then there was one flew off, which got nicked, and we still don't know where it's gone to this day. And that was Paul flying off and leaving the Beatles.
Oh, right.
It was the idea.
So is there only three little babies?
Funny enough, this guy here, Arthur Dooley, which I've just been given this. This is a crucified black Christ. He is the guy that designed the Beatles. That's him. And this has just been sent to me today. So that actually is him. Funny, I should have that today.
Where's that
but
going?
He designed it. That's in Upper Parliament, Princess Avenue. It's been up there for years.
But
they've taken it down and rebuilt it.
Okay.
But he's the guy that built it. And he was an amazing talent that was now more recognised. Now, sadly, now he's passed away. But, you know, that was... It's incredible. Are you looking forward? You're playing...
I do. Paul.
Paul, you play Paul?
Yeah.
Take your hat off. Oh, sorry, Paul.
Nice.
Sorry, Paul. No, I just saw the grey bits.
Wigs, makeup, lighting, you know.
He's got more grey hair.
Smoking
Paul
with
it. That's about 30 years.
How long have you been with them?
With Let It Be?
Yeah.
I was part of the original cast in The Prince of Wales in 2012,
right,
along with Reuben and some other mates.
Yeah.
But being a Canadian... I was always only going to be here just to help get the show started. I was working with another Beatles tribute from the U.S. at the time. So once the local British cast got settled, I went back to my other group.
Why does it work? Why does Let It Be work? Yes, we know they love the music, but why does it work? Tell us about the show. What will they expect for the people who haven't gone and are going to go this week?
Yeah, well, without giving too much away, it's an obviously like the... lads here mentioned, it's an interactive show, so it's not just something that you watch. It's not a play. It's obviously a live music of the Beatles. So you get people that are obviously Beatles fans and people who are maybe like tonight was I discovered a lot of tourists were in the audience. So it's interesting to get a mix of people. But why it works is obviously the nostalgia.
And if I may say, to be here in Liverpool, it works because you're obviously in their hometown. So you asked before, you know, is it difficult or is it tricky or whatnot? And I thought it would be, but it's actually the opposite. It's very easy to play in Liverpool Beatles because the people are so welcoming and they want to go on that journey. There's a lot of narration going on that's not necessarily, you know, the band itself. There's video support. There's little bits that come on in between costume changes and, you know, as hair gets longer and mustaches grow and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we try to tell the story of the span of the Beatles, even past the touring years, the studio years, if you will. So we've got a fifth member up there that does all the orchestra parts, and it gets really interesting and a bit more complicated like they did on the record.
So is it just the Beatles, or do you have a band as well?
No, it's just the Beatles.
It's the five musicians on stage play all the instruments.
No, very nasally. Yeah. Who do you play?
George.
The only genuine Scouser in the room.
He's a Scouser.
Do you all change your voices?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a little bit of your voices in a minute. Yeah. So, George, have you always played George?
In this show, I've been in Let It Be just after it started, a couple months after it started.
How many Let It Be's are there?
What cast?
Around the world? No, around the world. Is it just one travelling, or is it a couple?
Maybe three or four casts, which the producer can pick from, because there's a North American cast which can go do North American and Canada. Yeah. There's two casts in Britain.
At one point, there was a show on Broadway and a show in London at the same time.
Yeah. Whose idea was it? Apart from the Beatles.
The producer's idea. The producer is Anarin Productions. Yeah. They're Canadian-based producers. And the guy is Jeff Parry. Right. And he's quite a character.
I think I sat with him on the Nordoff Robbins Awards this year. Hmm. I'm sure he said it was his show that was coming to the Royal Court.
Right.
Great theatre. Great atmosphere that theatre. Yeah. And a lovely idea to have dinner. Right. I love going in for dinner at 7, finishing at 8, having a few drinks and seeing a show. Yeah. You don't want to go anywhere afterwards. Yeah. You've had a complete experience.
The bar is in the auditorium. Yeah. Can we go to the bar after the show and then mix with the locals?
That's what's great about it. Every single show, they always go.
It's a nightmare sometimes when you haven't had your tea and you're starving and like you smell the food.
Go on, get your chip. Have your tea. Well, of course, if it was the real Beatles, they'd go down and take the chips.
Exactly.
Do you have a Beatles song favourite? Ringo?
There's so many great ones. You know, it changes, actually, for me. Right now, I really love playing Get Back a lot. Mm. It's really fun to play, and especially with this particular show. It's at a time when the audience gets up and they're on their feet and totally grooving with us, so it's a lot of fun.
So how many songs are in it?
About 40 odd.
42, wow. I think.
Yeah.
Did you struggle learning the words, or did you all grow up, with the words?
We didn't struggle. We know that it's osmosis. It's in our bones already from years of listening and watching.
So what was your favourite Beatles song? Or what is your favourite Beatles song?
Well, funny enough, being a Paul McCartney, John Lennon's my favourite Beatle. So
Ringo's my favourite.
The odd... More out there songs like Happiness is a Warm Gun is stuff that I like.
Interesting you say that. Do you actually ever sit, because you seem like really nice guys, do you ever sit on stage, or sorry, play on stage and think, I want to do his part. I don't like this. I want to be him for a change.
Yeah, well,
I
wouldn't mind being Ringo.
I've done that. I did a John Lennon show recently in Montreal, back home in Canada.
Wow.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And all I have to say is, if for any musicians listening, it really opens up your ears and you get so much more appreciation, obviously, for the Beatles as a group when you're singing a different harmony than the one you're supposed to, or a different lead vocal. It really changes.
How many shows have you got left?
We have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. From Tuesday to Saturday.
Six
shows.
Tuesday, two on Saturday, Start again Tuesday. It's been going really well. The audience here.
Well, see, matinees are great. A lot of people love a matinee. Yeah. They don't want to come into town at night. They want to go there and have an early tea, and they love it. They absolutely love it.
Yeah.
What about the age group of the audience? Are they
kids? It's been a real mix.
Mixture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always a mixture.
Like last night, Saturday night, there was like just loads of people look like they're in their early 20s.
What I love.
Teenagers.
And
you get families with kids.
Yeah, exactly. I love to see little kids in the audience, and they're looking up at you, fascinated, you know, because they don't know what they're. Mm-hmm. They're seeing something that they don't realise what they're looking at.
Yeah.
They'll never see the Beatles. Mm. None of us will, but apart from you. But they're seeing something for the first time. And it's giving them, it's like, should be blowing their minds, you know, and I just get a kick out of that.
And I've seen the photographs. You do a damn good job.
Thank you.
You know, you're certainly for a start.
The attention to detail in the show is incredible.
Yeah, but that's why Let It Be is surviving.
Yeah.
That's why it's so good. It's really all about the music. That's not questionable at all. That's why it works. You know?
It's all about the music in the show, really. I mean, the sets and the lighting and the costumes are amazing.
Yeah.
But it's not like a traditional musical in the sense. Yeah. Where, you know, there's just where we're acting and stuff. There's narration going on, which it's all generally it's a theatrical concert. Basically.
Do we know if Paul or Ringo has ever been seen?
We don't.
We don't know. We had one of our stage managers in the West End had an email off their agents saying we've heard great things about the show and good luck and everything.
Oh, that's nice.
Another of the Paul McCartney's in the show, a guy called Emanuele Angeletti, who's Italian. He once met Stella McCartney at some thing or other. I don't know what it was, and Stella introduced him to her son. And he said, look, this guy plays your grandfather. and my friend, our friend Manny, said to Stella, does Paul, you know, does he know anything about the show? And she said, he's always on YouTube looking at the show.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to believe that's true.
Hmm. Well, we have on Tuesday, 1 o'clock in the morning going into Wednesday, I have done for five years now, I do an interview live from Hollywood with Ange McCartney, his stepmother.
Oh, wow.
And his sister
comes on
as well.
Is she a comedian?
No. Ange's an old lady now who has got McCartney's teas and McCartney's wines and has been involved in the music industry for a long time. The daughter was adopted by Jim, by Paul's dad, so his adopted sister.
Yeah.
And they come on the show. So we dabble in the Beatles quite a lot and some of the stories they've got. And Kelly, Frida Kelly, who ran the Beatles.
Yeah, she's lovely.
There's a lot of people about, you know. And
Yesterday we were doing the show, and after the show I met a guy who was at school with John Lennon.
Yeah.
And he was telling me all these sorts of stories about how his name was Bentley, and he was telling me how he used to push John Lennon off his bike and John Lennon used to get lost Bentley and all that.
I've got to tell you one of my favourite ever stories. You just mentioned that then. There was a play, Lennon, which was on The Everyman, which was sensational.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
I was in it, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Right.
Schofield.
Right, so you know how fantastic it was. It was incredible, but it was one of my listeners. Never been to a theatre in his life, but he was a Lennon fanatic. And he came on the show and he went, you know, I've just been to see Lennon. I'm just destroyed him. Just loved it so much. He said, you know, I'm taken back by it. He said, you know, just. But it was too short. I said, what do you mean? It was too short. It wasn't long enough.
Oh, God.
Hang on.
Yeah,
no. He walked out of the interval. He didn't know it was the second half.
Oh, my God.
His first time seeing a show.
To Paul telling the story about that.
Go on.
We just started Lennon at the Royal Court. It was the first time it had been on since, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
It was when Andrew Schofield did it, like, 5 years ago. And, you know, I don't know if you saw it at the end of the show. Like, it gets to the point where he's just about to be shot, and the two Lennons are doing this monologue, and then you just hear Mr. Lennon, and then this like crack of like nine drum beats, which is like the gunshots, and it's really heavy. It's hot, you know. People used to scream, and like you could hear people crying in the audience. And this one night, this woman went to me and she said, "Mr. Lennon," she went, "look out." We all just like bent our heads going, oh my God.
Changed the course of history.
That could only happen in Liverpool. Nowhere else could that happen. But
look out.
Look out.
Bless her, you know.
Did the audience laugh?
I was just put my head down and like,
that must be... Here's an interesting question. What about the end? People disappointed at the end because they just don't want it to end. Because that's what I've heard about Let It Be.
They usually say more, but
you give them more, but leave them wanting more. You know,
yeah, but
it's a rule of show business.
But some shows great. Yeah. You want more, but then you've seen it. But there are diehard fans in there just don't want it to end.
Yeah. Well, I would like to start a thing that say let there be a Let It Be 2, where we can play all the other songs, for the Beatle fanatics, where we can play all the album tracks and all the rarities and all that kind of stuff.
I'll ask each one of you, is there one venue that you've worked that has just blown you away and you'll never forget a particular night? Ringo. I'm sorry, I'm calling him Ringo.
Ringo.
I hate Ringo. So, go on. Any one since you've been
there? I think for me, it was probably playing the first night on Broadway. For me, because being from New York, I actually lived literally a block away from the theater, and I lived there for 15 years. It's not my hometown, but I really feel like a part of that city now. And you know, it's people dream all their lives to be on Broadway. You know, actors or musicians, and so for me, that was probably the most memorable experience for me. The first night on Broadway.
For me, it was the first night here at the Royal Court playing Imagine for the first time in this show. Hearing the Liverpool audiences singing along to In My Life, you know, fantastic moment.
Yeah. I'd have to say my first time performing at the Prince of Wales, 2012, on the West End.
Great theatre.
Yeah.
And when you went, but there's an awful lot when you went born. When you went born, I saw Barbara Streisand Funny Girl.
Wow.
In her last performance before she left to have the baby.
Yeah.
So that great little theatre, Book of Mormon on there now.
That's where the Beatles did the Royal Variety.
Yeah, so the history there and, you know. Yeah.
What about you? Because Scouser.
I would say the Empire was amazing. The Royal Court's been amazing. I can't really... I mean, when we first went to Japan, the opening night in Japan was amazing. Yeah. I can't really say one thing to people, because there has been so many... there was one day at the Garrick last year, which was fantastic for me. It was, like, special people in the audience.
Yeah. You mentioned Japan. Is it not scary, the audiences there? Because they're not fanatical. There's got to be another word than fanatical.
They're really well behaved.
They're
very polite. And then at the end of the show, they all run to the front of the stage. Yeah. It takes you like 10 minutes because you're like, "Aligato, aligato."
So they're polite still
they're really well behaved.
Oh, I thought they'd get mobbed.
They're great clappers there too.
Yeah,
they clap very perfectly on 2 and 4, and they're
great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They know the hand claps. So here comes the sun.
There's no one in three.
Don't you love it? And I do panto every year, 30 years now, and don't you love it when somebody's clapping out of tune? It really drives you mad.
I'll go 1 or 3.
And there's 3,000 people doing it in tune, but one, and you're only seeing that one. Yeah. You don't see anybody else in the audience except that one there.
Yeah. Desperately trying to teach my mum to clap on the offbeat to watch a band the other week. No. So just do like this, just off on the offbeat. She just couldn't get it.
Love it. So where are you going after here?
Japan.
Japan for a week.
A week?
Yeah.
Just a week.
A week, yeah. It's not long enough, is it?
Tokyo.
Just a week. How many shows?
Eight shows in a week.
So what about the travelling? What about the travelling? So you're going to be travelling and then 8 shows. That's going to be nothing.
Yeah, but there's two bands in the show.
Two casts.
Double cast.
So we split. Basically, we split like we did tonight. The other cast did this afternoon.
Is that the same here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
it's always been the way in the show. There's always been two casts because it's such
you
a
have
big
two.
That's interesting, like, and also helps your voices.
Yeah, exactly.
It's physically. People physically can't do it. It's there's no point where we're just sitting in the dressing room for 15, 20 minutes or something. Whenever we're not on stage, we're doing a quick change and then running back on stage.
So it's like 2.5 hours nearly of just full on singing and playing.
That's clever. Yeah. I like that. Didn't know that. Right, finish off. Why should they come and see it? You're on this week. Why should they come and see Let It Be at the Royal Court?
Well, I mean, if you like the Beatles, you got to come and see it, really. Even if you casually listen to the Beatles, you should come and see it and find a newfound appreciation for the Beatles because, I mean, this is Liverpool's export to the world. Mm-hmm. People come miles away to come to Liverpool and tour and see, you know, the Beatles story, and it's really an appreciation for not only the Beatles, but their hometown of Liverpool as well, you know. So
why should they come and see the Beatles?
Just a great night out. Fantastic night out.
Because the musicians are spectacular.
The musicians.
No, all of them. All of them are good.
I'd say because it's done with love and respect and passion. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone who plays in the show loves the music. It's all about the music. And it's relentless. It's just full on.
Right. I'd like to add to that. All joking aside, we really are fanatics of the Beatles. So we're not like cast members put together to reenact the Beatles.
Well, I've got to say to everybody, if you've never been to the Royal Court before, it's a very, very good time to go because, one, you can get a meal there. You don't have to get a meal. Two, you'll see a show and a half which has had the most incredible reviews. I mean, incredible reviews. And if you just want fun and to see something and feel as if you've had a night out, then why not go and see Let It Be? I'd like to finish off with your voices, if you may. So maybe you'd like to say thank you to the people of Liverpool and maybe thank you to the Beatles. So let's have the voices. Now, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to ring in later and say, no, they were crap. No, I'm not having that.
Do you want us to sing it in harmony?
Yeah, we should. Three-part harmony.
He's going first.
Thank you to the Beatles.
Peace and love, Liverpool. Peace and love.
Hello, this is John speaking with his voice. It's great to be back here in the show.
Thank you very much, Liverpool.
That's not very Scouse at all. My Scouse mate's going to say it for you.
Thank you, Liverpool. I'm very proud to be back here and playing at the Royal Court again. It's been fantastic.
That's not the George Harrison voice at all.
No. You want a George Harrison
voice? Yeah, George Harrison voice.
Thank you, Liverpool. I'm very proud to be back here at the Royal Court and in Liverpool, and it's been lovely. Thank you very much.
Now we've sold those two extra tickets. Yeah. Thank you, lads.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you.